You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Have you ever wished that you had a direct line to your pediatrician to ask all the questions that constantly crop up while parenting? We sure have. That's why we launched the Bites of Health podcast. Every morning, we'll answer a commonly asked pediatric question in 5 minutes or less. You can tune in while you're making your second cup of coffee or from the school drop-off line. So be sure to tune in to Bites of Health, streaming now.
Do you find it hard to sleep at night? Then the Calm Cove podcast can help you sleep deeply all night long. Calm Cove has deeply relaxing meditation music and ambient sounds, like ocean waves and crackling fires. All of our episodes are designed to help you relax and to fall asleep fast. Calm Cove is brought to you by the team behind Sleep Cove, the sleep podcast that consists of spoken word hypnosis, meditation, and stories. So if you want to listen to a beautiful soundscape tonight, search for Calm Cove on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and see how we're helping millions of people relax and go to sleep every night.
Oh, and welcome back. How are you, Melissa?
I'm doing good. How are you, Teresa?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. It's been a little hectic, but I'm doing okay. Thank you.
Good. Good. Yeah. Been a little hectic around here too.
I thought today maybe we could talk about a weird topic or mindfulness, but it's coming up so much for us, and it's age. Mm. And of course, here in the United States, it's a daily barrage of everything from concern to jokes about age because of the presidential campaign, right? So one of them is 81, one is 77. Everybody highlights every little trip, misword, you know, every little detail, blaming everything on age. And the majority of Americans think that both are too old to be president, but that's our choice now. It's one of those two that are too old to be president. And it really just kind of got me thinking about age in general, because there's a lot around age that you don't really think about. But before we even get into this, I just want to remind you, whatever your age is, that you're aging. We're all aging every moment of the day, right?
You can't really stop it. You can try to stop it, but you can't.
If you're lucky, you're aging, right? Because if you're not aging, you're not here anymore. And of course, I'm not saying Biden and Trump are young. I'm not implying that at all. But I kind of think, in light of what's happening with us as a species, that we might need to rethink age. So I looked up some numbers, and 100 years ago, which is nothing in the timeline of, you know, say the universe, but the average lifespan for men was 58 and the average lifespan for women was 61.
Whoa, you'd be dead.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And that's exactly.
Whoa, I'd be like elderly, basically.
Exactly.
Whoa.
So there's this whole thing around age, but also in the age we live in. Because that's a huge difference. Now, this year, the average for men is 73.5 years, and for women, it's 79.3. And this is just the average, right?
Wow, that's like almost a 20-year leap.
Exactly. So then what is old, right? Because like you just said, when 100 years ago, you'd be old. I'd be dead.
Not, but you know what I mean. Hopefully not. Based on the women in our family, you'd probably still be alive, but still we can, yeah.
But there's a lot of implications to this, because like right now it's about 16-17% of the world population is 65 or older, and there's a whole thing too about 65.
Yeah, when did 65 become the magic number? Obviously, it wasn't 100 years ago.
I think, I didn't even look this up, but my educated guess would be that it's tied into retirement.
Yes.
So like in the United States, 65 is the earliest you can retire. And I know there was a big kerfuffle in France because they tried to raise the retirement age from 65 to 67. Uh-huh. Fought back like dramatically against it. So I'm thinking, and I don't know if the United States was the first to pick 65, but it's one of those things where some countries picked 60, probably because people died at 58. I don't know. They picked 65.
You can retire after you're dead. Then we don't have to pay you anything. It'll be fine.
But I have been thinking about, because I am getting older. I mean, we're all getting older, but I am getting to that age where it's like, whoa, am I now considered old? Because that just does not feel like me. But when you combine ageism, which I have definitely experienced now, and don't get me wrong, let me say first, I think that ageism can happen to you at any age. So I know that there are young people who are brilliant and have great ideas, and there's an implicit bias against them as not being wise enough or seasoned enough, or you know what I mean? So anybody can experience ageism, but I think it's 2050 or something, 25% of the world's population will be over 65 and 75% will be under 65. But that big block moving through time, the number of old people is going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger in comparison. So what you can see, the whole globe is going to get old as far as the majority of people, if depending on what we call old. And one of the really fascinating things to me about this is that based on current mathematical models, no one that we know of is this old yet, but based on the calculations. So if you were in perfect health, you know, you took care of yourself, you didn't have a horrible stress, maybe if you live in a blue zone, I don't know what all the parameters are, but our longest potential lifespan right now is 150. I know. Wait.
150?
Yes.
No, thank you. Well, I mean, so now, I don't know, if I was in wonderful health, I suppose I could do 150. Think of all the wonderful things you'd see, but whoa.
Yeah, but think of like, I don't know, I can see myself getting bored. The oldest person in the world just died, I think in the last month, and they were 117. So we're not that far off even from how long people are actually living.
Wow.
Now, when they run the projections based on all of our technological advances, medical advances, all this stuff that's going to happen, they're projecting we could go as high as 244 years old.
Wow. And is this because of like advancements in the medical industry or like
what? And technology. Technology is a big driver because if AI can scan your body, like, right, you know, they're already developing wearable devices. We can scan our body, that it can find something before it even shows up on a mammogram or an X-ray and they can even change our genes, change them easily and inexpensively. So in this broader picture, what is old?
Yeah. I mean, well, what is old to you? You know, what do you think old is?
I think it's a very individual perspective, because from my perspective, I hope I'm not offending anybody. From my perspective, as long as you have a sharp mind, you're not really old. Like, you can still contribute and participate and, you know, live a full life, even if you've got physical ailments. As far as the body aging, yeah, my body's getting older. Don't think I don't see wrinkles and flab and, well, you know, all the lovely things that come along with age. But those things don't hinder me from living, right? They don't stop me from doing anything. Now, ageism, that's why I'm noticing it more. So even though I'm not in the greatest shape the last few years since the shutdowns and all that, it's not because of age, it's because I'm not moving enough. Like, I could still fix that, right? But if you go into a store and you are a person of my age, younger people automatically assume you're a little bit feeble. So it's always, do you need help to get to your car? Every time somebody asks me, I want to go, are you crazy? But I don't, I mean, I know they're trying to be polite, but there's a bias in there, right? Or technology. And the technology one cracks me up, because for some reason, younger, I don't know what age that is, but younger people just assume if you're old, you don't know how to use technology. And so I was thinking about it, and you know, I have friends from a wide range of ages, but all of my friends that are in their 70s are still working. They all know how to use technology. But yet, if you're working with someone and they're like 20 or 30 years younger than you, the assumption is always, well, you're old, you don't know how to do this. And so you kind of have to get a thick skin about it, because it's constant.
I think it's interesting that you brought up the grocery store thing, because I think I have a much different perspective on that. Yeah. And while I am younger than you, nobody ever asks me if I need help with my groceries. Yeah. However, if my child worked at a grocery store and did not ask somebody that was over the age of, I don't know, well, I can't say age, because depending on how they look, right? So let's say they have gray hair, maybe they're walking a little slower, maybe they just look a little older. If my child doesn't ask them if they want help, I would be upset, because I think it's almost ingrained in us, like a respect for you're old for the elderly or for older people. You know, you automatically, they've paid their dues. You need to be helping them out. Okay. And it could also be just my environment, you know, like my husband's parents are much older than you and my father. And so, you know, when we're around them, it's like, they better be helping them because, you know, they need it. And I can understand how it might come across as like, ugh, how dare you? I don't need help. I'm plenty capable. But at the same time, it's also a compliment, like, you know, I would love to help you kind of a thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's an interesting perspective. And again, I think it's also based on how old you are in general, right? So anyone, any adult today has been conditioned to think 65 is the golden year you turn old and people start retiring at 65. Well, many people aren't retiring at 65 now. That's causing part of the economic problems we're having. But that's also something else to consider. I don't think it's about a number. I think it's about, now I agree with you. If I went limping into a grocery store, I hope somebody would help me or whatever, but it's the assumption that you can't, which is really a bias, even though I totally get what you're saying. It's along the lines of what causes discrimination in hiring people that are older, right? They're going to be sick. They're frail. So there's a whole stigma around it that is absolutely valid in many cases. I'm not saying it's not, but at the same time, as our lifespans extend by a lot, it's affecting things like, is this person competent enough to run for president? Presidents don't have to physically fight for their countries anymore. Right. It's all mental. So if we're all getting blasé and apathetic because they're old, what does that mean? See, I mean, that's kind of what I'm getting at. It's like, if we're assuming 65 is old, you're a senior citizen, you're elderly at 65. Then if we're living to 80, 90 years old, that's 30, 35 more years of your life that what happens to you? You're discounted or discarded because you're old. And the reason this came up in the context of mindfulness is we really need to be mindful of the fact that we have been conditioned. And again, nothing wrong with it. It was the truth. When my grandparents all retired at 65, my mom is in her 80s and still working.
Yeah. It's interesting because I was just going to say that we have been conditioned for so long, because if you look back at a lot of the sitcoms from the 80s, I see this stuff on Instagram or TikTok all the time where it's like the Golden Girls. Do you know how old they were in the show? Like their age in the show? I think Blanche was like 45. She was supposed to be 45 years old. She looked like what you would think a 70-year-old woman would look like. So it's been in our brains that once you pass 40, I feel like 40 is that number where it's like, oh, now you're headed toward 65. And then after 65, then it's all downhill from there.
Exactly. Exactly. It's always downhill from there. It's funny that you say that, because another thing that I was thinking of is, even 20 years ago, if somebody famous died, you know, somebody would say, and they were 68, they'd go, oh, well, they had a good long life, right? And now when somebody's 68 dies, people go, oh my gosh, they were so young. And so
it's true. Yeah. It's true. Jeff and I, my husband and I, all the time, like I remember thinking, even with my girlfriends, we'll talk about this. We'll go like, when I was, I don't know, 15 and there was, you know, a 55-year-old in the vicinity, they were old.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, my husband's 56 now and he's not old. You know, like your perspective just completely shifts.
Exactly. It's a matter of starting to recognize that we've been conditioned to think this. And I think that also plays a big role in people's health. Because when they get up into their 60s, if they believe they're old, other people are treating them as if they're old, they start acting old.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They slow down, they get more sedentary, they think, oh, well, it's downhill for me. And so I don't think that's going to work anymore. Like I would have no problem, for instance, if they put an age cap on who could, you know, for Congress, for the Senate, for the presidency, like if they feel that's an important factor, robustness, say. I think if you're healthy, it doesn't matter, but I'm sure I'm in the minority in that. So, okay, fine. Then if we all know what the rule is, fine. That's the rule. Like you can't be under 35. Why can't you not be over 75 if that's what they want to do? I love being older. You are wiser. You do have broader perspective. You're not distracted. You know, you're not by having children and and, you know, the chaos of the younger life. You've got time to think and do things that I didn't have time when I was younger. So I wouldn't trade that for the world. But I think we have to start thinking in terms of the mindset of what old is. There could be somebody in their 40s who's in terrible health and maybe very limited physically or struggling with emotional problems or mental problems or any number of ailments that if they were even, you know, 15 or 20 years older, it would be, oh, that's normal because they're old. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's not normal for anyone. None of us need to be in that state. And so as we get older, I mean, I haven't hit the age yet where, I mean, you know me, I'm hyper as ever, but maybe I will hit an age that I'm like, I'm tired. I don't want to do any of this anymore. I don't know if that day will come, but that should be for me to decide. We need to expand it to think in terms of, or maybe to stop putting the labels on. So from, you know, 0 to 21, you're a child or whatever. From 21 to 64, you're a productive member of society. And then from 65 on, you're
a leech.
Of course, this has this absolutely affects retirement. When the French revolted over the lowering the, or, you know, not raising the age, in my mind, what I was thinking is, again, back to health. Okay, if you retire at 65 now, I'm not talking about people that have retired in the past at 65, but now if you retire, even by the average lifespan, you've got another at least decade to go.
Yeah.
What are you doing in that decade? And I don't mean for money, if you're financially set, good for you, but to keep your mind busy, to keep your body active. And I think we just need to, like, mindfully think through, first of all, for ourselves, quit listening to people. How do you feel? I would say I don't feel much different, honestly, than when I did in my 40s. You know, I don't wake up with aches and pains. I'm mobile. And with the exception of being sick a couple of years ago, but I have nothing that would indicate I need to stop or slow down in any way. At the same time, I know people who they are struggling, right? Well, then, yes, those are the people that we absolutely need to be mindful of and to offer assistance to and support to. But we shouldn't put those two in the same bucket. I was thinking maybe, you know, mindfulness and using mindfulness to explore our implicit biases that are there. I don't know anyone who says, oh, no, I hate old people. I mean, you know what I mean? Or I don't respect old people. But there's implicit biases that we all have on various topics. Just to, like, when you... You know, when something pops up, just take that little pause and ask yourself, oh, am I being biased? Am I making assumptions? And to think in terms of the timeline, the automatic bias that's kind of based on the labels of the timelines. And to just think, okay, the timeline's constantly moving. So we need to be constantly moving it up, right? It's going to be individual based on your lifestyle and your emotional state and your just overall well-being and health.
I think we have our timeline wrong, to be honest. And this is just my opinion, but why would we want to spend our most physical years cooped up working? So in my brain, and I know this is probably more of like a millennial type thing, I would think, because I think that's where I heard this the first time. Why not wait to sit down and work until you can no longer do those physical activities and you can use your brain in that period of your life and then use your physical body and enjoy all the wonderful things in the world. And, you know, we're in this constant rat race where it's like work, 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 save up all your money, retire at 65. And now you can't have the physical experience that you could have had in your 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, because now your body won't let you do it. So it's like, it's a little backwards to me. You know, I feel like, why wait to enjoy life, you know, after you've retired? You can still enjoy life while working. There's no rule that says you can't, right? But another thing I was going to bring up when you were talking about the mental acuity stuff about presidential candidates, and I am of the opinion that if we're going to call 65 a retirement age in this country, then perhaps we should cap the presidential candidate applications also at 65. You know, why is it different for that? One of the reasons I feel that way is not because of necessarily the mental sharpness, because I do think that they're pretty mentally sharp, regardless of what you actually see in the media. That's cherry picked for you to make an opinion. I do think that part of it has to do with relatability.
Yeah.
And I think that when you have the general voting population being of a much younger sector, and then you have two people that are 30 to 40 years older than that sector.
Yeah.
How are they relating to the general public and really understanding that voting public? And are they actually understanding our needs? Are they actually understanding our desires and what we want to see for this country moving forward? And that's kind of why I feel like, regardless of how sharp they are, if they don't have that relatability, maybe that should be something that's talked about a little bit more.
No, I think that is such a valid point. And realistically, if our government is representative of the population, then 75% of Congress and the Senate should be between 18 and 63 or 64.
And the majority should be women. Since the majority of the population in the United States is women.
It is slightly more women. But that's what I'm saying. It's not representative. So I agree with you. I think we're in a terrible, terrible place with our government as far as that. Now, there's another problem too, which is most young people would probably rather jump off a cliff than run for office because it looks like such a hostile, nasty mess, which it is. So yeah, there's a lot of fixing to do there, which is probably 3 or 4 podcasts on mindful governing. But I agree with you. And I even agree with most of the population that we would rather have a different choice for presidents. And I think, honestly, I think President Biden's done a fine job. I do think he's getting too old and forget the flubs too. You're right. Because, you know, the things that you see on TV or that pop up on social media or all that stuff, they're looking for any little mistake they make. That's what I was saying. They're just nitpicking to make them look old or.
Yeah. There's no Hollywood editor editing their speeches. So
I know as a public speaker, I mess things up sometimes because you're under pressure. People are staring at you, whatever. So that I can give them a lot of grace for that. But Biden in particular looks old. If you look at every president at the end of their fourth term, they've aged 20 years. Yeah. Like Obama went in with dark hair and looking young and he came out looking old. It's a hard job. It ages you, I think. When you are highly stressed, your body is aging faster at a faster rate than it would be if you are in a calm, content state. Even meditation. So we know regular meditators that meditate at least 20 minutes a day, every day. So it's consistent. It's at least most of them honestly meditate longer. It lengthens telomeres, which is this little tail that's at the end of a strand of DNA, and it determines your longevity. Mm. So mindfulness and meditation can help you age slower, live longer, and help you gain that perspective that helps reduce bias and discrimination. And a lot of that does come from implicit bias. So mindfulness and meditation, I think, are something that really could go hand in hand with the topic of aging to help us all figure out, I don't know if I want to live to be 150, but I don't mind getting some benefit of extra years in case I want them when the time comes. But I think it's just important to sort of step back and be mindful about how you're looking at the topic of aging and how you're judging others based on their age. What's the criteria? Is it it's 65 year old, or is it, well, if you're still in great shape and you're, you know, doing well and you die, oh, you were so young. Like there's no clear.
Yeah. If you do find that you have that bias, if you, you know, kind of reflect a little bit, you know, I do have a bias with drivers, older drivers. 9 times out of 10, when I'm on the road and somebody's driving too slow or they're not driving very well, I'll look over and it's usually an older person. And so that bias kind of kicks into my brain of like, oh, just an old driver. They shouldn't be on the road. But then you really need to try to figure out, like, why do I have that bias? Where did that come from? Why do I think 65 is old? Who told me that? Where did that come from?
Yeah.
Once you can kind of dig down and go and work backwards and try to find where that came from, it might go away.
But I think the true underlying problem with aging is the older someone gets, the more other younger people don't want to really focus too much on it because underneath is the fear of dying. We just don't ever want to deal with death, even though we know it's going to come, right? We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to deal with it. And so I think that the older someone gets, it's representative of what's coming. Like, so I said, you're lucky if you're aging, because that means you're here. But at the same time, the more you age, the more that you know you're getting closer and closer to that end time. Yeah. And that's terrifying for most people. I got over that fear completely through mindfulness practices.
I'm actually not scared of death at all. The fear part I have is more about, have I done all the things I want to do? Yeah. The actual death part, I mean, if I'm not here anymore, there's a reason. And I do believe that everything, you know, kind of works its course. But that's my fear, is that, oh my gosh, if it comes and I haven't done everything that I actually wanted to do, oh, I'd be so disappointed, you know? But death itself doesn't scare me. Of course, it's, you know, sad, and there will be grief and loss, but it's not scary to me. I just think that people, they do have a really big fear of aging. I don't know why everyone is so scared to get old.
Well, but now you also practice mindfulness. Yeah. So I don't, and you were much younger before you practiced mindfulness. So I don't know if it's a good comparison, but once you practice mindfulness consistently for a while, where it's really like your way of being, I don't mean when you're first starting out, but you really do end up adopting that attitude of what's going to happen is going to happen. It's not getting tied together as, oh, it's one big arc. That's what life is. You start, you know, as a newborn, and you end as a person who has passed on to the next place. So
maybe if we could start looking at it as something to look forward to, because that means that you've experienced so much more.
Yeah, I love that.
I want to look forward to being 150 years old, because when I'm 150, imagine the amazing things that I've experienced in my life.
Yeah. No, that's a lovely attitude. When I think of death, sometimes though, I think of death as retirement. Like, oh, I'll be ready to rest by the time it finally comes. I'll be really ready to rest, because I can't imagine just not having something to do, or, you know what I mean? That part scares me worse than death, is to get to a point that I don't feel like I'm participating or contributing to the process of life, basically, in some way. So I guess I'll have to activate all of my hobbies or something if I end up not being able to work.
Yeah, I mean, I do know a lot of people that are retired and fully thriving and enjoying life, you know, so absolutely. I don't think retirement is necessarily linked to that end stage of life.
I don't think it has to be at all. You do your work, you work as hard as you can, you make as much money as you can, blah, 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 blah. Then you hit retirement and you get to enjoy life. And then stuff happens. Younger folks are going to come up and they're not going to be conditioned that way. I think the whole work thing has shifted so dramatically. But for many older, and I don't mean old, I mean like 40s, 50s, 60s up, whatever in there, they were raised in that era where there was a structure and you followed the structure.
Well, I mean, it goes back to like, you're not defined by your work. That's not who you are. It's a job. And yes, we can be passionate about what we do for work, but that doesn't define you as a person. Yeah. And I think that when we can separate that, sure, maybe when I'm 75, I'm going to take up writing, and maybe I'll become a best-selling author by the time I'm 80, yeah. You know? So just to keep things to look forward to, instead of like a flattening out, I guess I would say.
I don't know. I think the overall message is we need to be mindful about this, because we're not necessarily forging relationships between generations enough so that we can fully benefit from each other. We're not being mindful enough about our health and wellness to serve us. It's also to be mindful of how we think about ourselves and age. People seem to recognize an inner beauty, mm-hmm. and that's forever. So it doesn't matter, you know, if you look like a mummy, you know, by the end, if you've still got that inner beauty, that spark in your eyes, that motivation to still contribute, yeah. and participate and do things, then I think that's what's most important.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I struggle with that right now. I'm in my mid 40s and stuff is changing, and it's difficult. You know, there's with all of the things that people do now to try to stay young, with, you know, Botox and injections and plastic surgery and all of these different things, it's, you don't know how old anybody is anymore, because everybody looks the same age. But I choose not to do those things. And I do not hold any judgment to the people that do those things, you know, do whatever makes you feel good, but just make sure you're doing it for the right reasons, and that you're doing it to make yourself feel good and not to make you look good for other people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's tremendous pressure now because of social media. You know, they don't want to look old. So again, if we get rid of the bias against old, then you wouldn't maybe feel as much pressure. I think for some people, it's very important. And if it's important for your self-esteem, or if it's important for what you do for a living, or if it's important because you have a huge online presence, like, it doesn't really matter what the reason is, as long as you're still doing it because it's going to make you feel better about you.
Exactly.
So everybody's getting older, so you'll be fighting that battle for years to come until you kind of come to peace and accept the fact, which again isn't a mindfulness practice, acceptance, but you just have to accept that we're all getting older. And the plus side of that, it means we're all here and alive and doing our thing, right? Versus not. Well, I'm going to put up a guided meditation on aging mindfully. So that'll be up in a couple of weeks. And I hope you give this some thought, because there's a whole lot of people getting older. And, you know, maybe that's one area where we could be more compassionate and supportive of each other, and maybe have more of a sense of humor about it instead of fear. We thank you for joining us today, and we hope you'll be back with us next week. Thank you so much, and have a mindful week.
Thank you, everyone.
This podcast is part of the Airwave Media Podcast Network. Visit airwavemedia.com to listen and subscribe to other great shows like Sleep Cove, Small Things Often, and Wake Me Up. This podcast is available to view on our YouTube channel, so be sure to follow us there and on Instagram at A Mindful Moment Podcast. Visit our website, amindfulmoment.com, to access podcasts, scripts, and reading recommendations. A Mindful Moment is hosted by Teresa McKee and Melissa Sims. This podcast is produced by Work to Live Productions. Thank you for tuning in.